turning in our Bible tonight to the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And we'll read together from verse 1. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make their count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of their houses, when they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whoso eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. And no manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. Amen. Ending our reading there. Praying the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of His holy and precious word this night. At this stage of our service, we're turning in our Bible to that passage we read together in Exodus chapter 13. And once again, with our Bibles open before God, shall we seek the Lord's help and power to preach His word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee now we come before Thee. And we come before Thee, Lord, and we ask You, Lord, this night to bless us and to fill us with the Holy Ghost and with mighty power. Lord, we do thank Thee again. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the blood. And Lord, help us tonight to preach and to preach about the blood of the Lamb. Be with us now. Fill us with Thy Holy Spirit. And may Thy word have free course and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our text tonight is found in verse 13 of the passage we read together, and it's those words in the middle of the verse: "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." The children of Israel had been in Egypt for over 400 years, and for most of that time they'd been in slavery and bondage to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But God saw their afflictions and He heard their cry, and He sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh with the request, "Thus saith the Lord, let My people go." Old Pharaoh and all his pride said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the people go." But he soon found out who the Lord was, for the plagues came: plague of frogs, plague of lice, plague of darkness, one after another. 9 plagues came and went, but still Pharaoh would not let the people go. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron that He would send one more plague, and after that the children of Israel would go free. And this was the plague of death. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt would die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh on the throne to the prisoner in the dungeon. All would die. But the children of Israel were to take a lamb for a house, and they were to keep the lamb, and then they were to kill it and take the blood and sprinkle it on their 2 side posts and upper door posts of their home, and go into their home. And God said they'd be safe, for the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And tonight we want to look at this blood that was shed long ago in Egypt and compare it with another blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on Calvary, shed for sinners and shed for rebels. Tonight we want to look at the blood, and there's 3 things about it, simple. First of all, we have the source of the blood. In verse 3 there, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, ye shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." And you notice there, God was the source. So it was. This wasn't something conjured up by Moses and Aaron or any of the leaders of the children of Israel. This was God's way. This was God's plan. And it was the only way. And that's like the gospel tonight, preached in this church and other churches too. It isn't man's makeup. It's nothing conjured up by a presbytery or committee or a synod or anything like that. What the gospel is, friend, it's God's way of salvation. It's God's plan of salvation. If you miss it, if you reject it, you reject the only way of salvation, so you do. And we see the description of the source there in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. The source was a lamb, innocent and pure. It couldn't be defiled in any way. It couldn't be lame or anything. It had to be without blemish. And of course that reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He was sinless and spotless, so he was. He knew no sin. He did no sin. We have his Father's testimony. His Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have his friends' testimony. They said he knew no sin. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. And we have his foes' testimony. Judas Iscariot said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." Pilate said, "I find no fault in him at all." And the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross said, "Truly this was a righteous man." The Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless Lamb of God. But we have the death of the sorcerer in verse 6. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." The lamb had to die. There was no point in getting a lamb and keeping it for a pet. It had to die. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world to die. He just didn't come to be a great healer. He didn't come to be a great prophet, a great teacher, or anything like that. He came to die. He was a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And beloved, tonight, no one ever died the way Christ died. You know, when a man died by crucifixion, he suffered a great many things. He suffered from dizziness, cramp, thirst, starvation, sleeplessness, traumatic fever, tetanus, publicity of shame, long continuous torment, horror of anticipation, mortification of unattended wounds, pain of every movement, lacerated veins, the wounds inflamed by exposure, gradually gangrened, as well as a burning, raging thirst. And those are the physical sufferings of a man who was crucified. But as well as that, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin on his own body on the tree. He faced the wrath of God for us on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The source of the blood. And then we have the striking of the blood in verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it in the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses. Rene shall eat it." This speaks of application. The blood had to be applied. Again, it was no use getting a lamb and killing it and putting the blood in a basin. It had to be applied. So it did. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood has to be applied. There's no point in you coming here to hear the gospel every week and agreeing with it and going out. You must apply the message. You must apply the gospel to your heart and life. The blood of the Lamb, so you must. And we see the place of application there. It says in verse 7, "Ye shall take of the blood and strike it in the two side posts and upper door posts of their house, wherein ye shall eat it." And that meant when they went into their homes, they were safe. They were under the blood. And you see, the Lord was looking for the blood. He says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Nothing else would do, so it wouldn't. It wasn't the blood plus being a Jew. It wasn't the blood plus keeping the commandments or anything. It was the blood, and the blood alone, he was looking for. And it's the same today, friend. When God looks into this world and into this meeting tonight, he's looking for those who are under the blood. He's not interested in you, friend, if you read your Bible and you pray and you do your best. He's looking for the blood. So he is. The hymn writer said, "What shall wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Maybe you're thinking tonight, but how do I apply the blood to my heart? How do I apply the blood? Well, it tells us here. In verse 3 there, it says, "Speak unto all the congregation, saying, in the 10th day of this month, ye shall take them every man a lamb, according to his eating." And then in verse 4, it says, "And if the household be too busy for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next to unto his house take it according to every man according to his eating." And then in verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish and without spot." And you see there, verse 3 speaks about a lamb, and then it's the lamb, and then it's your lamb. And that's how you apply the blood to your life. When you first heard the gospel, you heard about a lamb that was slain, that would take away the sin of the world. And as you continue to listen to the gospel, you've realized he's the lamb. He's the Lamb of God. So he is. But why not tonight make him your lamb? Ask him into your heart and life. Receive him as your own personal Saviour. The Bible says, "As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Oh yes, friend, we have the source of the blood, and we have the striking of the blood. And then last of all, we have the sufficiency of the blood. It says there, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The blood of the Lamb was sufficient, so it was. It was sufficient to save from death. So it was. Verse 22 there, it says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood in the basin and strike it on the lintel and two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall leave your house or go out of the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite them. It was sufficient to save from death. And the blood of the Lamb, beloved, tonight is still sufficient, so it is. It's sufficient to save, to cleanse you from sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's all your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin can be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. It's sufficient to save you from hell, which is the second death. So it is. Beloved, tonight, if you're not saved and you're still in your sin, you're on the broad road going down to a lost sinner's hell. You mightn't want to hear that on Sunday night, but that's God's truth. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sin. Whither I am, ye cannot be." And Jesus is in heaven tonight. And if you die in your sin, you'll not be there. You will be in a lost eternity, in a lost sinner's hell. But if you're saved and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you will be saved from hell, from the second death. You will never go there. You will never be there. And then, last of all, it's sufficient to bring you to glory. You know, they sing in heaven. And what do they sing about? They sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. And that's a wonderful thing, John. And if you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven. You're going to be with Christ, which is for better. A story is told of John and Charles Wesley, the great founders of Methodism, went one day to watch an old saint of God die. And as they left that scene, they watched that dear woman, and she died rejoicing in the Lord, thanking God she was saved, knowing peace with God, knowing she was going home to heaven. And as they left that scene, John Wesley said to Charles, "These old Methodists die well." And beloved, tonight, that's what it's all about. Being saved, being ready, dying well. And it doesn't matter what you are. You can be Baptist, Church of Ireland, Presbyterian, Methodist, but if you're under the blood and your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven, you'll die well. And that's what it's all about. Nothing else matters in this world. Only you know you're saved and you're going to heaven at the end of the road. There's a hymn. It's not in our hymn book, but it says these words: "The blood has always precious been, 'tis precious now to me. By it alone my soul has rest, from fear and doubt set free. Oh, wondrous is the crimson tide, which from my Saviour flowed, and still in heaven my song shall be, the precious, precious blood. Perhaps this feeble frame of mine will soon in sickness lie, but resting on the precious blood, how peacefully I'll die." Oh, beloved tonight, I hope you're saved. And if you're not saved, you come and stay behind and have a word with us. And we would love to open this book and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And you can go home knowing that whatever happens, you'll be at home with the Lord. You'll be saved. Don't leave this meeting without Christ. Don't even think of coming back maybe next week to talk to the minister. Tomorrow's eternity, hidden from view. And if you die in your sin tonight, it will be a lost eternity. You'll be in a lost sinner's hell. You come to Christ, be saved, go home rejoicing, knowing it's well with your soul. May God bless you, and may God save you, for his name's sake. We have a closing hymn, hymn 231. O mourner in Zion, how blessed art thou, for Jesus is waiting to comfort thee now. Fear not to rely on the word of thy God. Step out in the promise. Get under the blood. Standing to sing 231.